there was something to touch on. So just give me something, select something. So it's hard to see who's over there. I mean, the Kaifan, I can see. Bill, I can see.
Yeah, Bill's there.
I can see Sachi. Krishna consciousness movement is really just based on chanting Hare Krishna. It's a very wonderful thing, chanting. Although in Kali Yuga, people are very unfortunate in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is already given as a proposition. Prayanal Parusa Shabdha Kalo. Kalo means in Kali Yuga. Asmin Jugi Jana Manda Sumanda Manda Bhagya. This word manda means, it means like lame. We use the word lame brain. That's sort of similar to what Bhagavatam states, lame brains. And it gives three different versions of it, manda, sumanda, mandabhagya. And of course, people, well, no one likes to hear that. And by measuring according to our own standards, we consider ourselves to be quite clever. Everyone does, whoever they may be, or whatever they may be. But according to Bhagavatam's standard, and there the standard of measure is not really so much how inventive you are in terms of gadgets, or how good a memory you may have, or how many diplomas you can accumulate. But really it just begins with understanding what the goal of life is. And if you don't understand the goal of your life, then again, not only is one not considered to be very intelligent, but is not even considered to be a human being. We distinguish species according to physical distinctions. Vedic literature and Vedic culture distinguishes species according to levels of consciousness. So when the level of consciousness is simply about expanding the needs of the body, that's still considered to be animal life. Whether one happens to have this type of body or the body of a cat or a dog or a bird or a human two-armed body, it's still animal because the consciousness is that of an animal. So what your consciousness is what determines who one is. And therefore intelligence is measured not in terms of brain power, but in terms of elevation of consciousness. The minimum, therefore, intelligence is that one understands the goal of life. And then after that, intelligence is dependent on how and how much one acts upon fulfilling or achieving the goal of life. So even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes knowledge, the bottom layer or the first minimum standard of knowledge is to be able to distinguish between matter and spirit. Distinguish between body and soul. That then becomes what real knowledge is. For instance, nowadays, in our modern, very, very highly technologically oriented society, we're extremely proud of the fact that we're just like breaking new frontiers, not only by the day, almost by the moment, of technology. this doesn't classify as knowledge according to Lord Krishna, because although we may be doing so many wonderful things, technologically speaking, but it still is all in relationship to the body, and there's still no knowledge of the soul or what the relationship between the body and soul is, what the soul is meant to do, what the body is meant to do. And so actually then later on Krishna says, actually all of this type of so-called information that we have classifies or qualifies as ignorance, not as knowledge. There's just different types of, generally we say ignorance is when you don't know something. But this is another definition of the word ignorance. Ignorance is everything that you know that doesn't lead you to knowledge of the soul. All knowledge which is not in relationship to the soul are just different types of ignorance. So we can meditate on that. And because we're so much contaminated, and ignorance has a certain type of influence, you may have experienced it. It makes one lethargic, it makes one sort of weary, tired, indolent, don't care. In other words, it has sort of an intoxicating or stupefying effect. And because of that stupefying effect, when we come in contact with something spiritual, we just see it also as being material. So when we come in contact with chanting Hare Krishna, we relate to it in the way that we relate to everything, which is in a very mundane way. So we have this saying, throwing pearls before a swine. So a pig is a pig because he has a habit of a certain type of, well, he has a certain body, he has a certain behavior. He's used to a certain type of lifestyle, which is generally based on eating anything that he can get his... What do pigs have? Not hands, not paws.
Trotters.
And so if you throw them pearls, then for them pearls are just something else to be eaten. And it's rare to see pigs walking around with pearl necklaces. They just eat them all. If anyone's silly enough to throw pearls before them, I don't know who was the first one who tried. So that's also our condition, that we're used to digesting and consuming everything in relationship to how it satisfies our body. And when we come in contact with something spiritual, like the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then we're so stupefied, so used to or so conditioned by our habits that we don't really know how to relate to it. We don't know how to interact with something which is out of the norm, out of the ordinary. And it takes quite some time to overcome that type of bewilderment until one actually becomes free from this lower nature, lower tendency, lower material energy, and comes to a higher energy, which is generally considered to be in the mode of goodness, where someone actually has appreciation for spirit and is able to distinguish between the two, and has a great taste for spiritual activities because they give him great pleasure. Sattvam sanjayate jnana. And people in the mode of goodness, they're considered to be civilized human beings because they have this knowledge and they act on this knowledge. And that is called a brahmana. Brahma janati brahmana. Someone who knows that he's soul and acts behaves like he's a soul is considered to be a Brahman. What are we reading here?
50.
Okay, well, this seems to be in tune here. This is a part of Chaitanya Charitamrita that glorifies Haridas Thakur, who is the acharya of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And a few chapters of this book, wonderful book, are dedicated just to him. This chapter talks about... Why is this ever bad? It's like a melted popsicle. I never like popsicles. And this particular chapter talks about the greatness or the glories, the wonder of Haridas Thakur. And it's a conversation, a dialogue between Lord Chaitanya and Haridas. So, Haridas Kali Javana Apara Gobramanya Hingshikari Mahadura Chara. This is in Bengali language, very pretty language, poetic. And it says, "My dear Haridas Thakur," Lord Chaitanya speaking, "in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and Brahminical culture." Well, that could have been edited a little properly. It sounds like they're concerned with killing cows and they're concerned with Brahminical culture. What it means to say is they're concerned only with killing cows and killing Brahminical culture. In this way, they're all engaged in sinful acts. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, "From this statement by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can clearly understand that the word Yavana does not refer only to a particular class of men. Anyone who is against the behavior of the Vedic principles is called a Yavana. Such a Yavana may be in India or outside of India. As described here, the symptom of Yavana is that they are violent killers of cows and Brahminical culture. We offer our prayers to the Lord by saying Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. The Lord is the maintainer of Brahminical culture. His first concern is to see to the benefit of cows and Brahmins. As soon as human civilization turns against Brahminical culture and allows unrestricted killing of cows, we should understand that men are no longer under the control of the Vedic culture, but are all Yavanas and Malechas. It is said that the Krishna consciousness movement will be prominent within the next 10,000 years. But after that, people will all become Malechas and Yavanas. Thus, at the end of the Yuga, Krishna will appear as the Kalki avatar and kill them without consideration." This was in the vein of what we were discussing about the condition of people in Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya here emphasizes two things. One is that people are cow killers, and the other that they destroy or they're against Brahminical culture, spiritual culture. Of course, we're not individually connected, or every person is not individually connected with the killing of cows, but certainly they have very systematic and organized slaughterhouses in order to facilitate that type of cow killing. And therefore this Burger King, which is based on cows, as well as McDonald's and all of these, they're spreading like wildfire all over the world. By all over the world, I mean that they are now opening a Burger King along the main road in Vrindavan, not far away from, well, just as it turns off into Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, and so on. And these things are going on, but what should one expect? Because as is stated here, the two things are connected because people are really against Brahminical culture or real spiritual culture. I'm not talking about religion, because there's very few religions who are against cow slaughter, so they don't have anything to do with Brahminical culture either. They consider it to be a very, very natural thing to do. But these two things, and why are we selecting cows? Are we just sort of lovers of one species of animal? And the answer there is, well, Krishna is a lover of cows, so yes, we have a particular affection for cow. But there's a spiritual, sociological, economic reason why cow is so exalted. Cows give milk. Now that's not a surprise. And milk is a very extraordinary substance. It is a substance with which everyone feeds their children milk in order to make them healthy. Mothers only give milk to their children for some period of time, but we drink milk throughout our entire lives, and we know that it's good for you because it has so many wonderful minerals, vitamins, and so on. All types of milk products are also good. Yogurt, cheese, butter. Just try to imagine a world where these things don't exist. Of course, that is developing, that type of world, because now they're making milk out of soya, pig food, and the cheese out of the same thing. Of course, butter you can make out of petroleum. Margarine is called petroleum. And of course, out of plastics and so many other things, you can manufacture all kinds of edibles, because unfortunately people nowadays aren't so particular with the quality of the food that they eat, because rarely they have time to eat anything. So more or less it's just something to go down and keep you going between one day and the next. But still, you know, we have that experience. We see what a valuable thing milk is. And cows give milk. Now we're talking about cow milk as opposed to other types of animals, because practically every animal gives some type of milk. Cow milk is particularly very valuable. And the bull, the other member of that family, is the basis of agriculture. Even in India, as highly industrialized as it is at the present time, still 90% of the energy or work that's being provided is being provided for by bullocks or oxen. If you have cows, therefore you get the basic necessities that you need for life, eating wise. If you have a bull, you can till the soil, you can plant wheat, you can harvest it. Problems of life are solved, because the main problem of life is eating. Computers are not a necessity for life, neither are mobile phones. Although I may have just lost mine. Did I lose it? Or you didn't find it? Anyway, I'm still alive. If I don't eat for a couple of days, I'll be in bad shape. So none of these things are absolute necessities. Life does not depend on them, but life certainly depends upon food. And therefore, if you solve the food problem, you solve the problems of life. It's just as simple as that. Everything else is plus, it's extra. And extra means that it's optional. You have it, you don't have it. Your desires may be frustrated, but you continue to live. And ultimately, that's the most important thing. So Govramanya, this concept of protecting the cow, the bull, tilling the soil, having milk, and then, of course, Brahminical culture or spiritual culture is traditionally based upon the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice can be performed when there's ghee in order to pour oblations into the fire. So in this way, Brahmins are also connected to causes. Well, and of course, Brahmins are those class of people who direct the other parts of society towards Brahman, or towards spiritual truths. They're spiritual teachers. And when spiritual knowledge is valued, and the real essential means by which we eat is valued, then that's it. That's what life's about. So you've got food to live. That's the main thing. And what are you living for? You're living for to understand spiritual life. You're living to understand what the absolute truth is. So once you have these two things, then that's the basis. And if you keep these two things as the focus and the most important thing in life, and you have time to add some other things and your computers and so on, that's fine. But they're just plus. They're just additional things. They're not absolute necessities. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in Kali Yuga, most people are yavanas, and here the definition is those people who neither protect the cows, neither are they interested in spiritual culture. And I mentioned earlier this idea of religion as being something separate from spiritual culture. There are many so-called religions that do not even touch spiritual culture. They don't touch spiritual culture because they don't know what spirit is. There's no concept of soul. There's no concept of a distinction, a very clear duality or dualism between spirit and matter, or that there's such a thing as a spirit transmigrating through various bodies. Therefore, these so-called religions are not, don't really come into the category of Brahminical culture or spiritual cultivation. They're also part of material life, and they're also variables. They're also optional. If you got them, all right. If you don't, nothing's going to change in life. At least not in any serious way. So, Yavana culture, Lord Chaitanya is lamenting that what's going to happen in this day and age, because most people are don't observe these two basic criteria for civilized life. So how will then they be delivered? If they have no interest in spiritual values, then how will they advance in spiritual life? And if they don't respect the mother cow, father bull, then ultimately for them just to live in this world is going to be such a phenomenal struggle. Now don't tell me that it's not a struggle living in this world. With all your increased technology, that you work less or more. Of course, you may not be able to compare it by what am I comparing less or more to, but by comparison to how much people used to work in order to have a garden and feed themselves, even some people do it now, not far away, up in the mountains, or they have their own, or there, it is relatively very easy for a person to maintain themselves. It's a little more difficult in very demanding climates like the ones we live in. Of course, you could ask the question, why are we even living here at all? There are a lot better places to be living than this, where the climate is much more moderate, and as soon as the climate's moderate, 90% of your problems are solved. You don't need double glazing, you don't need insulation, you don't need thick walls. All you need is a mud hut with a thatched roof and a garden. And if anyone's ever done gardening, gardens really produce. It doesn't take much to live off a garden. Of course, don't expect any steak plants to be growing in a garden, but if you're satisfied with vegetables, potatoes, and these things, a very little piece of land can maintain an entire family. And then you can spend the rest of your time in noble things, in valuable things. Now, in order to fulfill so many of the artificial necessities of life, we have to work to such excess under such very strenuous conditions that people working more and more and more than ever before. And that's making them more and more disturbed. It's making them less inclined to spiritual values and ultimately more unhappy. And in order to maintain this life, Lord Chaitanya says, maha durachara. In this way, they all engage in sinful acts. So this becomes the real hallmark of our modern society, isn't it? People are becoming more and more sinful. You can turn on the TV, radio, newspapers. It simply talks about the crimes, murder, atrocities that go on in so many different ways, whether it be within the family, between countries. People are becoming more and more sinful because they have no goalposts. They have no standards by which to maintain. The only standard, really, is so-called morality, and that morality is crumbling because what's it pinned up to? What's its basis? What is it that is sustaining morality? So that nowadays, even in this country, members of the same sex can marry, adopt children. You want to vote for people like that who say that this is all right? All in the name, because it's got nothing to do with values, it's just got to do with votes. So it's called insanity. People are becoming insane because there is no standard, really. The standard can change in due course of time according to what the majority of the people want, and because the majority of the people, here it says, in this, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, because most people are becoming more and more degraded, therefore they will support, or they will demand more and more degraded activities. And because by their votes, the leaders, who are the ones who are meant to supply them all of these things, get voted into office. So it's supply and demand. If you've got the demand of the majority, then you get the supply by the leaders, and everything just goes down, down, down. And if someone wants to stand up to something like that, there may be some few brave people who try to do that, but they don't stay in political office for very long. They get voted out really fast. Or they get called fanatics, fundamentalists, branded different names. And so people engage in sinful acts, and the real essence is that when you perform sinful activities, as we began in the beginning, people become covered by the results of the sinful acts, by becoming accustomed to sinful acts. One becomes more and more insensitive, becomes more and more intolerant. And therefore, everything seems to be okay. Why is it that children are... At one time, the atrocities that children would perform is sort of pulling out butterflies' wings or something like that. Now, 8-9-year-old children in this country, they kill each other. It goes on all the time. There's children right now in jail who are just in jail because when they were 9 years old, they killed some 4-year-old children. But why? Because that's what they see in the television. So that's what they hear, that's what they see constantly, just unlimited violence, whether it be on television or movies or in their own families or what is going on. And pulling out butterflies' wings is not a nice sport, but it's certainly a heck of a lot different than people, than children killing each other. So, and of course that's just the children. If that's what's happening with the children, then anyway, you guess it, what's happening with the adults. So we're becoming insensitive. The anti-abortion league is losing the fight. It's losing the war against abortion because everyone's becoming insensitive, because they will accept that some so-called doctor will come along and say that this fetus is not alive. It's dead. It looks like a baby. It moves like a baby. It's going to become a baby, but it's not alive as yet. So you have to be an idiot to accept something like that, or to speak of say something like that. But people do, because it suits their purposes, obviously, and because then it makes for unlimited free sex if, you know, murder is the ultimate solution. They make such a big thing. Hitler killed 6 million Jewish people. But since then, how many children have been aborted? And where's the big protest going on? It's being sponsored. In this country, you go and it's nationally sponsored. National Health will sponsor it. So the government will pay for it. People lose their sense of sensitivity because they no longer know what's right, what's wrong, because they're yavanas. They're not interested in spiritual life. By the results of sinful activities, they become more and more insensitive. So, going to the dogs, well, that's the saying. It's gone way beyond that. Dogs is up at this stage because at least, you know, dogs are, they have their own code of conduct. But unfortunately, human beings know no sense of, no atrocity is too great for them. They're willing to do anything. You know, dogs, they bluff. Most of their barking is all bluff. And then at a certain point, they run away. Humans aren't like that. They don't bluff. They ultimately do everything and anything. So Krishna consciousness movement is meant to at least somehow or another give a sense of value, give a sense of appreciation about the importance of Brahminical culture, about the importance of cow protection. If you've got a little garden in the back, you can get a little herd. But at least, if not in your back garden, at least that was Prabhupada's idea, that we have a method of protecting the cows upon Krishna conscious farms, like for instance we have the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and they're not just cute animals to be sponsored, because Indian people know that it's a pious thing to take care of cows, but because it is the sign and the emblem of civilized life. You have to recognize who your mother is. If your life's dependent on, or if your life is gauged by the fact that you kill your mother and your father, then you're not a very appreciative person, you're not a very civilized person. And when people don't even recognize my mother, my father, they're not my mother and my father, then you really got problems. A son can't even recognize who his mother and father is. And that is what Srila Prabhupada wanted of our farming communities, to show this thing, Brahminical culture, cow protection. If you do these things, Krishna becomes very pleased and he gives his blessings, he helps you, he makes it easy to solve the problems of life. Because this is where actually first the Industrial Revolution and now the Technological Revolution took place. It took place on the ethos that industry, technology, scientific development will make life simpler and easier. But you may have noticed that that isn't working. So things aren't getting simpler and easier, they're getting more complicated. Now you've got a real problem over here, people who are living near on the Mumbles and all along here in Swansea, because in 20 years the water level here is going to be about 5 meters higher. So don't invest in any properties there. Bill's got a good place up on the hill. You'll probably be on beachfront property by then. It'll be prime land. And because that's what's going to happen, and it's going to happen all over the world, not just here, but it will happen everywhere, because in our effort to make life very simple, we're going to flood out 15% of the world, and they're going to have to worry about where they're going to live. So just explain to them how everything got more easy. And of course, that's just one of the minor complications of our modern way of living. Things aren't becoming easy. They're becoming much, much, much more complex, much more complicated. So why? Because it's sinful. It's against the laws which were given to us by the Lord. And as a consequence of that, people are lost. They're very lost. Not only are they lost in terms of where to go as far as living in this material world in terms of material values, but even in terms of spiritual values, even just the most basic, the most fundamental criteria. When did the Pope die? Last year. I remember being in Vrindavan and I was listening because it was a major event. He was, by all comparison, a very pious and religious man. But it was interesting because it was full of the news and they were full of these appreciations and long programs about the achievement of the Pope and so many things, how he was responsible for the fall of communism in Poland and care of children and welfare and peace and what all things. But there's not anywhere did anyone ever say that the Pope taught the people about the importance of the soul, that the soul exists, and that we're not these bodies, but we're spiritual entities that are different than this body. And that's like preschool, spiritual preschool, to understand that your soul is, and this is the leader of, you know, 1/5 of the world's population of religious people, and no mention of the soul. Nothing. No one could recognize that this person actually taught us that we're not these bodies, that we're God's children, and we shouldn't emphasize so much on this body, but we should recognize who we are as spirit souls. What to speak of becoming vegetarians. So, as a consequence of all of this, people are really bereft of good material knowledge, good spiritual knowledge. Life is becoming extremely complex, becoming extremely frustrating. Therefore, suicide, drug addiction, alcoholism, you name it, it's not decreasing, it's increasing. The major health problem of this century will be a mental and emotional sickness, so much so that within 40 years 80% of the world's population will be mentally disturbed. That's according to the World Health Organization. In other words, we're all going nuts. And that's by modern day standards, that's by standards of people who are already nuts. So when they say that we're going to go nuts, then you can imagine how the situation is going to be. So something has to change. And whether we're going to change the world or not, that's yet to be seen. But at least we can change our own world. We can change our own lives. We can make a difference in the way we live. And how to do that? Anyway, Srila Prabhupada gave such, I was just looking at Prabhupada's books over there, his conversations. Prabhupada gave such wonderful, practical, simple ways in which everyone can bring some sanity into their lives and not necessarily go the way of the maddening crowd, but just follow the simple teachings that Krishna has given us. And at least make a difference to our own family members, if to no one else. And that's something. At least it's certainly something for us as individuals, because At least that's one people upon whom we can make a difference, and that's our own lives. And if others become inspired, or we can inspire others, then that's certainly a plus. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says, Amara Aghaya Buruhana Tanayedesh. He said, at least save your own house, save your own family, save your own village, whatever, however much someone may be empowered to do, but at least we can try to save ourselves, because otherwise no one else is going to be saving us. All right, I guess we should, what's the time?
20 past 8.
Pretty late. Okay, we'll chant a little Hare Krishna, and then the devotees can take Prasadam. Jai Shri Prabhupada.